Yo, man, I'm not gonna say like surprised, but this looked like pre-shutdown Michigan, and I was always, I would say concerned, but I was more curious, if and when they would get back to that. And I thought today, so the first two games, hey Stu, what up Stu? So look, the first two games, they're now three games in, right? They're now three games in. And I just feel that the first two games showed why they're top 10 in the country defensively. This game showed how they're also top 10 in the country on the offensive end as well. They won. They beat Wisconsin and Rutgers because of their defense. Point blank. Because of their defense. They had the one half. They scored 40 against Wisconsin. But they won because of their defense and their defense only. This game, Ohio State, have you seen their numbers? So Steph Curry gets a whole bunch of attention, and they love him, and they brag about him, and they talk about Curry a lot because he is a 50-40-90 guy. If you don't know what that means that you shoot at least 50% from the field, at least 40% from three, and at least 90% from the free throw line. Today, Ohio State was a 50-50-90. They shot over 53% from the field, 50% from three, over 92% from the free throw line, and they still lost by two possessions. How wild is that? What up, Stu?
What up?
You good?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm hearing you go off. I mean, I don't want to interrupt
you. Nah, man, it's all good, man. It's just, I was curious to see what would happen here. Because this is the first game all year with these guys. Like, yeah. I'm sure Dickinson has been in back and forth battles. I'm sure Shondy and Mike Smith have been in back and forth battles. I'm sure, we've seen Brooks and Livers be in back and forth battles, and Wagner's probably done that in Germany, but they haven't done that together as a group yet. And that's probably the more impressive thing of what happened today, is because they've only either blown teams out, got blown out once at Minnesota, or if the game is close, or not close, but you win by 8, 9, whatever. But this is the first time that they've been legit tested throughout the entire game. And it feels like they were just answering each other. Probably the best game played all year long, no matter what the matchup. It was a great game.
Yeah, I really have no words. I mean, this should, again, just more poise that we talked about that they're capable of. And like, I'm just fully expecting them to act like college kids and have, slip up here and there. And, they've had some games like that and they showed some rust, but I don't know. I was shocked that they were just going back and forth like that at the end of the game. Like, I for sure thought a lot of nerves would set in, and really nothing happened. I mean, they're just very confident in what they're doing. And even, again, like, Mike stepped up and was more confident this game than, say, Franz was typically. So, when some guy doesn't quite play up to par, some other guy steps up, and it really doesn't matter. And, like, they just fill in, which is pretty rare in college basketball, very rare in college basketball.
Yeah, like, step up and then some. You see Eli Brooks. I mean, he struggled a bit with Washington Jr., and then who they bring in, Shondy. That dude had a hell of a game today. A hell of a game. And it's not like he didn't play starter minutes, I don't think, But man, when he came in, he had a real impact. And I think what changed the game was that Michigan was down by four. I believe it was 65-61. And his energy and his presence in the backcourt tied the game almost immediately. Almost immediately. And then the huge sequence, I was going nuts. I'm going to post it later on. But I was going absolutely crazy when Shondy was getting those 50-50 offensive rebounds and on the one possession and then finishes it himself. I was going nuts. That was crazy.
I was getting so annoyed. Like, it was taking two or three people to box out Hunter and nobody else was crashing the board. So then Shondy comes in and gets two in a row on that play and then puts him up by two. And I was like, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate this. And, you know, just go into the paint. Something good will happen.
It was just a really good game. And I hate close games, but it's good for the team. The Wisconsin game was good for them. This game was good for them against Wisconsin. You're down by 14 and you're clawing yourself back from that hole and your defense kicks in, your offense kicks in for that one half. And then we pretty much saw that where the defense was just not getting stops, right? No. They weren't getting stops, but they were like, okay, if we're not going to get stops, you know, we're going to just make you pay on the other end. Mike Smith, MVP today. I know Dickinson had a great game with 22-9. Livers hit some big free throws. Shondy had a great stretch. But, man, Mike Smith, the way that he controlled the game, controlled the pace, understood when to push, when not to, used his speed, changed speeds, 7 assists, 1 turnover. I mean, just unbelievable, man. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. What's up, Jeff?
No, you're right, Ant. Mike Smith was the guy for me today. Like Hunter was dominant. Everybody did their thing, but like Mike Smith was the guy I worried about going in. Still, and I don't know why. I mean, I think it's just that kind of, you know, going from Ivy League, you know, still like, can he do it against the highest level team, a tough team? And he did it today, man. He made open shots. He ran the team. He controlled the pace. He didn't get rattled. Like Stu said, like the poise, I think, starts. It's got to start with your point guard, right? And it started with him today.
That's what's amazing is they're playing number 4 team in the country. He's still figuring out his role, and he comes in, and it's a very subtle difference. But you've noticed in the past few games, like every movement today had purpose. Every dribble had a purpose. Like, you know, he was looking up. He could see the full court while he was using the ball screens. Like, every little thing you could tell portrayed confidence. And they needed that, especially in the first half. Like, they've had that a couple times now in the past few games where somebody's got to really carry them for a half, and they figured it out in the second half. And Mike was that guy today, which was...
Yeah, 19 assists on 31 makes.
Yeah.
Just really good basketball overall. Just offensively, like, they were really, really, really good. And
both
those
teams,
19 assists, a lot of them
teams,
came
man,
off of hockey
really
assists.
Good offensively. Like, that was the beauty of the game.
Yeah.
It's a fun game.
Definitely.
Michigan hasn't had that assist, I don't think, in a while, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was a lot of assists. A lot. I mean, it's not like this game was being played at a crazy pace. But both teams, I mean, Ohio State made tougher shots.
Yeah.
But Michigan kind of got whatever they wanted to get, in my opinion. They never felt rushed. They got good shots almost every possession. And I think that was the difference in why Michigan won and Ohio State lost. Ohio State just couldn't make enough tough shots, and Michigan continued to get the easy buckets.
Yeah, they took advantage of Hunter. You know, Hunter was kind of a difference maker in the second half. And I love, again, we don't see it enough these days, like the low post entry pass, right? Like, some kids make it so hard on themselves. And Hunter seals, like, he's got the angle, and they get him the ball exactly where they need to get it, so there's no wasted motion, and it's nice and easy over E.J. Liddell or Kyle Young or whoever.
I thought it was impressive. I know Liddell kind of had his way. I mean, like, he had 23, but he shot under 50% from the field. Hunter's defense on him, like, Liddell had some tough shots. He had some tough shots.
Yeah, it was all jumpers too. So I mean, you're gonna give that to him. Hunter had his work cut out for him with him on the perimeter, but I mean, he was making jumpers, especially in the first half. So, like, you know, what are you gonna do? You're not gonna take Hunter out for the whole game just because of that. So you're gonna give that up.
And that almost saved Hunter, I believe, foul wise, and saved some of his wind, because now you're not running up and down the court and banging inside.
Yeah.
But like now, on one end, you're more like floating and not having to worry about early post position and all that stuff. I'm going to try to get a couple guys up here.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's up, everybody? Real quick, I do want to let you guys know, if you are not talking, make sure your mic is muted to make sure that there's no background noise and there's no rumbling in the background. Go ahead, anybody.
Yeah, I'll start. I kind of there was like a room created before you started one, and so I was like kind of talking on that. But Stu kind of hit what I said a lot with this Michigan team. If there's one guy that has an off game, even against a top five team, usually against a top five game team, you need all your top players having great games. With this Michigan team, you had Shawnee Brown. I don't know what he finished. I think he finished at almost 15 points. And then you had Mike Smith just show out. It's just, you have these core guys that just, if something needs to be picked up, they're going to pick it up and they're going to take it. And that's going to be like such a huge thing come tournament time, when it's a one and done tournament and you have one off game for your best player. A lot of those teams, that's where upsets happen. And this team, I mean, especially seeing Hunter being able to come back and dominate in the second half was such a key thing to see against a top five team, and everything like that. I think the two transfers earned my most valuable players of the game. Mike Smith and Shawnee Brown were 1A and 1B. Just the energy they brought. Shawnee Brown, I mean, that game was close with 7-8 minutes left, and that possession where we had 4 offensive rebounds in one possession, I think, drained Ohio State. I thought at that point, there's no way we're losing this game. Because mentally speaking, I mean, like, I've played basketball before. If another team gets 4 offensive rebounds in one possession, you at that point, you're like, what? There's nothing we can do to stop.
It's demoralizing. It really is. You know, you got a guy like, you know, Hunter banging down low, but yeah, Mike and Shawnee, they, you know, those two guys had an amazing game. And Michigan fans were dogging Eli Brooks. I know he was giving up some to Washington Jr., but he has 17 himself. Rob, what's up, man? Rob, are you in here?
I'm here. What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Not much, man. That was impressive. That was really, really impressive. Hunter Dickinson took that thing over down the stretch. I don't know if you've touched on this yet, but I'd love to know what you thought about Sewing's behind-the-back pass and what in the world was Dwayne Washington doing in the defensively in those last 2 minutes. I mean, he made
– oh, my God.
The double team was just like, what – where are you going there? He got blown by I think it was Eli, on a possession where there was like 5 seconds on the shot clock. I think Michigan was up 2 at that point, and like maybe they were up 4. And Ohio State had to get a stop. He got blown by the double team. It just felt like Ohio State made so many dumb mistakes in those final 2 minutes.
I mean, obvious. It's just guys get – big eyes, and they want to make a play to end the game, and then it's all dumb. Like, I mean, Livers is a pro. Like, you can't just double on the perimeter like that where he's facing the basket and his back isn't turned. Like, that's just stupid. And the behind-the-back pass, I was going to actually text Ant, like, if he thought that was really that bad. I don't think it was that bad. I think Liddell really wasn't looking. It's just not on the same page. It just looks bad because it's behind the back. But, like, Liddell, like, should have popped out anyways because he should be taking advantage of that double screen with Hunter in the middle of it and popping out to the perimeter. So I think it was kind of on both of them.
Well, I mean, I don't think that it was a dumb pass because it was behind the back. I think it was a dumb pass because he's throwing it to a spot where nobody is. You know what I'm saying?
It looked way worse than it actually was. And it turns out to be what, a 3-point play at that point? Yeah. What did they go up? Like,
it was 77-74 and they went up by 6.
Which, yeah, that is like 2 minutes left. Play.
That's right.
That is a huge play. How much time was left?
I think it was 220 something.
Yeah.
223 maybe after the foul.
Livers may lay up 234. 234 and one layup with Livers. And you go up 6. That's really, I mean, I'm not going to say game over, but that's it. That's game. You have the ball down one possession. Silly turnover puts you down 6 with 2:34 left, and you know, and they do make a couple of free throws then, but then it's just back and forth for the rest of the game. You know, you go down by 6 and then you know, win by 5 over the next, no, win by 1 over the next 2 minutes. I mean, that's game right there. That's game.
Woo. That's just demoralizing. It's and one turnover and a fast break layup all in one.
And it was a bad one. Like, dude threw it, and the two Buckeyes are, like, looking forward, like, okay, let's run the play when the ball's, like, bouncing behind them towards half court.
That's my thing. Like, there's two wing players on the other side of the court, and your two bigs aren't even looking at the ball. Like, what the hell? I mean, it's just as much their fault as anybody else.
Yeah, that was all bad. That was all bad.
I was just impressed with the overall game, as far as like the first punch that they took when Michigan hung in that the first 2 minutes when the Ohio couldn't miss and they survived that first round. They went up like what they scored like 6-0 or whatever, but it was like early in the game. And then I don't know, it's something about Michigan. Force, they started forcing like turnovers at the end. I feel like Ohio State got thrown off their game, but really Ohio State didn't play a bad game at all. And I feel like Michigan did a good job playing through the refs, because I feel like the referees did some questionable calls, like all these charges, and like they was missing a lot of calls our way. And I feel like Michigan persevered through that. They didn't trip, or they just kept playing through it.
Yeah, Eli,
I just can't get over the easy shots that Michigan was getting. Like, they were getting open threes. And it was either an open three or a layup or Dickinson just being bigger than everybody.
You see, Ohio State coach said post game, we didn't adjust. We should have adjusted more and focused on defense.
I mean, you give up 92 at home as a top five team. I mean, no, this Ohio, y'all need to realize, like, this Ohio State team was coming in hot, bro. Like, hot.
Like, anybody else
played, like, them? They beat some good teams, man.
I felt like anybody else that would have played them in the Big Ten would have lost this game today.
Oh, anybody else will lose this game, for sure.
Was anybody else feeling some type of way when Ohio State kept getting away with those chicken wing offensive push-offs and they just didn't call them the whole game?
The Eli Brooks one, the one that they warned them for flopping, that yes, one made me feel some type of way. Because, dude, you can see his arm push him off, then you fall. That is textbook charge. And the fact that not only did they not call it, they called him for a flop warning.
The ref gave him a warning during the play. I had to stand up during that. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, there's no way that they're not going to call that. And they got away with a couple of them, and it was just – so frustrating during the time of the game.
Yeah, they did. Who has not talked yet?
Yo, I'll step up, Ant.
What's up, Tony?
So what's up, man? So I just got to say, like, I mean, that was a fantastic game. I think everybody agrees. Back and forth. I mean, that was like a Big Ten championship game, NCAA or tournament game. But we now, in the last week, we saw Michigan come back on the road against Wisconsin, down double digits. We see them go toe-to-toe, blow-to-blow with Ohio State. I just feel like they are really showing their mettle. They are showing that they can win so many different ways, because we saw earlier on before the pause that they were blowing a lot of people out. It wasn't a lot of close games. So I think this will serve them so well in the future. And it's hard not to get like too excited about this team because, I mean, they just win in all kinds of ways. It's crazy.
I do have to say, I think this the Rutgers game on Thursday helped this team out so much, especially with Mike Smith. Mike Smith was pressured and harassed the whole game against Rutgers. Didn't have a great game. He came back out today with, it seemed like, a lot more awareness, a lot more patience, but he still attacked at a lot better rate than he did against Rutgers. I think that Rutgers game and the pressure that they put on Mike Smith won us that game today. It was a big...
I think my biggest thing about this game, too, was Liddell and Washington early on were making a lot of tough shots that really hurt, but, like, we were still, for the most part, in control of the game. And eventually you felt like those weren't going to fall. So it really felt like Michigan was kind of in control of the whole game, even though Ohio State would go up a few points here and there, but for the most part, it really just felt like we were just kind of controlling the game the entire time. I just wanted to say, too, that 230-some-odd people about 10 minutes ago, Ant, you're doing an awesome job. I'll let other people talk, though. Go Michigan, go Blue.
This game, like, set up so well for the Buckeyes, you know? Like, they, as Ant said, these guys came in hot. You know, they had beat some good opponents, and Michigan coming in on Thursday at 9 p.m. with a junkyard dog Rutgers game that lasted the whole time. I mean, we were expecting some tired legs, I think, during that game. And Michigan just responded with senior leadership, you know, and on the road beat a really tough Buckeyes team. I think it just speaks to the mettle of this team.
Yeah, I think, honestly, if you would have told me before the game that, like, one of the teams was going to get to 90 and this game would have been in the high 80s, I probably would have said that, like, this definitely favors Ohio State. And I think like after this game, and I kind of knew this before, but I think this kind of just kind of solidifies it that like Michigan could win in like whichever way they need to, which I think like is just so big, like just winning like down the road and I think just like racking up wins. I think that, like, teams of the past, you know, they can probably either win one or another way, but like this team like just can win in like any way they want, in my opinion.
And today is a big reason why I think I don't think Illinois can beat them. I think Iowa can. I think Iowa can beat Michigan, but certain things have to go the right way. But I don't think Iowa can. No. I don't think Illinois can.
Why?
Because I think Iowa, they have multiple people who can really score the ball from deep, their perimeter, and then Luka Garza can hit you whether it's from three or from down low. He's also versatile as well. But Michigan is going to be able to get those shots. But I think Iowa is going to be the toughest team down the stretch, not Illinois. Illinois, it's everything is through Io Desumu. I mean, like, you stop him. I mean, nobody is putting up 25. Like, Kofi relies on guard penetration. He relies on guards setting him up. And I just don't see a team like Illinois giving a lot of problems. And saying that, I don't think any other Big Ten team is really going to give Michigan much problems. But I do see Iowa as being the one team that will at least score with Michigan, but if Michigan's on point defensively, then Michigan should have the advantage. But if this Michigan team shows up every single day, defense has to come back to life. And Ohio State's had a lot of contested shots, but I just don't see how a team like Illinois can overcome Michigan, especially if we have guys like Shondi or Wagner on Io and not a smaller defender.
But like again, Brooks. to me, it comes back again to the ball screen defense. And, like, you put Sean D through so many screens, and then we got the big just kind of backing off. And sometimes we're – maybe it's the big's fault, or yeah. I don't know if it's coverage or what, but they're kind of in no man's land. They're not really guarding the ball. They're not really close enough to their man. Their man can still roll and, you know, create gravity that way. And IEO plays like that. You know, they got Garza and Iowa that, you know, hurt them in the pick and roll. So if teams keep exploiting that, like, yeah, you can hang 90 on Michigan. Like that's the thing that can't happen for those two teams. I guess if you catch Illinois on a good day, like, I don't think they're as consistent as Ohio State, obviously. But I think it can happen.
I mean, like, how does Michigan get to celebrate this win, you know, take a couple days off and then play the number one offense in the country next
week? Nice.
Welcome to the Big Ten.
Nice. Now that's,
and can we
now
talk
that,
about that, is that home? Can we talk about Dwayne Washington and how both the Michigan schools let him end up
in Ohio State?
I mean, imagine
a really good
how
player.
Much better Michigan State would be with Dwayne Washington in the back.
Yeah, that was that is huge. What was let me look it up right quick. What was Dwayne Washington's year?
He was in the Foster Lawyer David DeJulius class.
Interesting.
So was he a Grand Rapids CC guy?
No. He's from Grand Rapids, but he went prep school somewhere, right?
Yeah, I think he went to California.
Wikipedia saying Sierra Canyon.
Yep. He went to Sierra Canyon. Okay. Okay.
So
gotcha. That makes sense.
Guys, grand scheme of thing, it really doesn't matter that much, but do you think this type of win propels Michigan over an idle Baylor team?
No. Advanced analytics love Baylor and Gonzaga. Like, love. Like, Michigan's not number one or number two on any advanced analytic that I've seen. It's just Baylor and Gonzaga. There's
a few tiers in college basketball this year. Baylor and Gonzaga, they're both 1A. They're in the top tier. I think Michigan is a slight tier below it, and I think there's a considerable gap between Michigan and the rest of the group at that point.
I'll back that up. I'll double down on that. So what if Michigan goes and beats Iowa and beats Illinois, and you know, let's say they win out their schedule, and Baylor,
I think they'll be
out.
Number three overall still.
Yeah.
Which is, they're going to need someone to lose. And if Gonzaga loses, they're going to lose to a doo-doo team.
Yeah.
You know?
It don't really matter.
Based on who they have left.
At this point, they just about have one seed locked up, which is what is key. I mean, looking at the schedule, if Illinois were to win out, except if Michigan beats Illinois, they could go 2-2 versus Iowa, Indiana, and the two Michigan State games, and they'll still lock up the Big Ten championship. But Iowa still has four road games left. Ohio State is one of them. Wisconsin's one of them. Michigan State's one of them. And Michigan. And then they're home against Nebraska. So they don't have the easiest schedule either. And any game that they lose gives Michigan an opportunity to lose a game to clinch the title. So at this point, it's pretty. It was a big win in terms of winning the Big Ten.
Yeah, and when it comes to Baylor, they've been postponed for a long, long time. They've had five games get postponed. Three of those were the ranked teams. Two of those ranked were on the road. They have Iowa State, then they have West Virginia, and go to Kansas. So I'm not sure if they're going to make up any of those games. It would be a travesty if they don't. But, you know, they skipped out on three top 15 teams, and two of those were on the road. So if they were to overcome anyone, if Baylor comes out slipping and, you know, Michigan wins the Big Ten and gets to the championship game or wins the Big Ten tournament, I could possibly see them moving to the two and Baylor back one. I could see that. But I think Gonzaga has the number one overall locked up for sure.
Hey, go ahead.
No. But like, and one thing about Gonzaga, like they are a legit team. Like they're very, very good. Like they have Nembhard coming off the bench. He would start at 350 other universities. Like dude is good. Like 6'5" combo guard. Very good players. Suggs is good. Ayayi's good. Kispert's good. Drew Timmy is good. Like that is a good team, and they're better defensively than most people think. They just get knocked because they're playing a bunch of like schools that just are not good, which they can't control. I totally understand, but it's irritating when you're in these dogfights against Ohio State, and then you see Gonzaga blow out San Diego by what, 30 or whatever it was last night. That's the part that's pretty annoying. You know what I mean? Like they're playing at the Toreros and probably like, you know, like 20 point faves. Like that doesn't happen in our league.
They were favored by 32.5, and it wasn't 20. It was 32.5.
See, I'm over here exaggerating, and I don't even get there. Like that's how bad it is. And did they cover?
Yeah, they did. They won by 37. Yeah, I think they were up by 45 at one point in the second half.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, man.
So, like, how do you guys – I feel like we talk about this with Gonzaga or when Butler was up at the top two, like, every single year. How do you think that affects a team come tournament time when you're not really battle-tested as much as other teams, say, in the Big Ten or formerly like the ACC every single year?
If you face a team that's in the NCAA tournament, one is that they're going to be a good team because they got to the NCAA tournament. Two, if they face a team that's truly not afraid of them, not just puffing out your chest, acting like you're not afraid, but genuinely like you, like this team does not scare you. Because I think Gonzaga has a fear factor about them because like, oh, it's Gonzaga. Oh, we need to be on our A game. No, if they face a team that doesn't give a shit who they are, you know, those are the ones that Gonzaga is going to have to worry about in the first three games or so. Not the first three, probably like game two and three. Like, I would love to see them against San Diego State. I would love that. Like, if San Diego State was like an 8 seed, oh, I would love that game for them.
Love I will it. Say this about Gonzaga, though. In the last – this is what they've done the last five times they made it to the NCAA tournament. In 2015, they were 35-3. They made it to the dance as a 2 seed, and they got to the Elite Eight. In 2016, they were an 11 seed, and they made it to the Sweet 16. In 2017, they were a 1 seed. That was when they lost to North Carolina in the national title game. 2018, they were a 4 seed, and they made it to the Sweet 16. And in 2019 – they were a 1 seed and they lost in the Elite Eight. So it's not like this team is, you know, we've had these doubts about them and their schedule and how tough the teams are that they play. But it's like in the last like 5 or 6 years, they haven't really been getting upset. It's not like they're getting knocked out early. You know, everyone remembers that 2013 team, like the Kelly Olynyk and Kevin Pangos team that lost in the second round of Wichita State. But, you know, that was the last time that they didn't really make it deep in the NCAA tournament when they were supposed to. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but like my concern with them was like bad habits, right? Like if you're playing against these teams that you don't have any, like is never going to be able to compete with you, that's when you kind of develop bad habits and you can get off to slow starts. And they were doing that for a while. And it looks like they've kind of, you know, they've shaken that a little bit because their last three games, they've just absolutely run people out of the building.
That is great context, but we're doo-dooing on Gonzaga right now, Rob.
Okay, my bad.
Nah, hey, you know, facts only, man, facts only. Kendall, what you got, man? So if y'all don't know Kendall, he played at Minnesota under both Tubby and Richard Pitino. They couldn't get it done against Illinois, lost by like a million points last night, but I'll forgive him for this. What's up?
What an intro. Well, I guess we can touch on those Gophers real quick. That was tough. That was brutal. But, I mean, before that game, Illinois has probably been my favorite, unfortunately, in the conference. I feel like they, like if we talk about NCAA tournament chances, I feel like if it's just roll the ball out, short prep, like Illinois's got it. I think it's hard to game plan Iowa in the Big Ten, so I don't think anybody non-conference has a chance with that. So yeah, that was tough. And I was gonna touch on the Gonzaga thing too. Gonzaga, man, I really believe this team is a lot different than any past teams. Like I don't think they've had leadership like two lotto picks leading them like this. I think Jalen's their best player they've probably had since Adam Morrison. And like, I don't know, I feel like it's a lot different. I know in the past they always take those L's, but with non-conference games this year, I feel like they've had some pretty big wins. And it sucks they're in the West Coast Conference, but shit, they don't have a football team. So, like, they can't make it work anywhere else. So, I don't think it's their fault, but I just think it's this year it's a lot different. So, I'm not going to say they're, like, way far ahead of everyone else, but I think it's unanimous. They're the best ones out there.
Put them in the Big East.
Yeah, so Gonzaga, I mean, Notre Dame does the, you know, they have their little ACC thing for basketball, but not for football. Like, how come Gonzaga can't do the same thing with basketball where they can't get into a, you know, I mean, even like the Pac-12 or whatever, you know, like how could they not get into any better conference than the WC?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Shoot, somebody got to take that up with Gonzaga. But all they're I know is this right roster now, this year, like, they're tough. Chilling.
They're chilling, like, they're chilling. They're getting all the hype. They're you know.
They do.
You know, what's the incentive?
I'll be honest. I'm looking at it through a lens of pre-conference. Like, everybody who knows hoops is not looking at any of these conference wins as hype. I'm looking at it as that. I'm also taking in the fact that these Big Ten teams are getting battle-tested every night. But I also think that roster is just tough. Like, they're really good. They're really good basketball
team. They're balanced. Who is my man? His name is like Watson, the big who's behind Timmy but plays the four sometimes.
Yeah. See, they're deep. That's the thing. Good. They're deep. And Timmy's solid, man. Like, he can – and he played against all these guys. Like, Hunter Dickinson's a dog, but Timmy and Hunter Dickinson, like, they play against each other in EYBL the whole time. And I'm not going to lie, Timmy probably got the best of them down there most of the time with Drive Nation over TakeOver. So, I mean – We'll see what happens there. But, I mean, Juwan Howard, he's going to keep his guys ready. So, I'm a fan of y'all, too. Like, I'm a big fan of Michigan, too. But for me, personally, I would say is Gonzaga, then Baylor, then Illinois, then Michigan. And that's my opinion.
What?
Yep.
Illinois you're in the wrong room. Losses. You're in the wrong room, Kendall.
What? I know, I'm in the wrong room.
Yo, man, you see how Kendall just like threw that curveball at the end?
Yeah, man. Well, he was talking to Illinois.
Hey, man, it's all good. Illinois is a top 10 team. No matter how biased you want to be, they are a top 10 team in the country by far. Number five is very, very, you know, that is a good spot. Where they are, they could even be four. Ohio State has played their way into number four, rightfully so. I believe Ohio State and Illinois, they play each other here the next couple weeks, though.
Last
right?
game of the year. Last game of the year. March 6th.
I think Michigan fans may have a rooting interest in that game once it happens, especially once Michigan finishes out their season as well. You know, that could be a huge rooting interest right there. They're going to close the season at Wisconsin. Illinois closes at Wisconsin, at Michigan, at Ohio State. And if they win the conference off that, kudos.
Yeah, that'll be it. That'll be the deciding factor. I'll come back and talk after that. We'll see how my statement holds up.
Bet. Man, you hit me with that. Greg Maddux changeup low.
Well, it's about stopping Io, right? Like, you think Michigan got that? Like, he's tough, dog.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
who knows?
Yes. Today, it doesn't matter if we don't stop a team, we can still out.
I know, but Io keeps everybody else going, and he's got a lotto pick down low as well, and he plays off of him as well. And then Ace, which is a freshman as well,
Kofi?
Go.
Who's not a lotto Kofi? Pick?
I mean, shoot. No, Kofi's got a lotto skill set.
No.
No way. No, 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 no. Coburn?
Yes.
I don't know about that, but I will say this. I will say this. I forget me with basketball and having connections and da-da-da-da to the, you know, team and all that. Me as a basketball fan, I need to see Shondi and Franz guarding Ayo. Like, I want to see that. I want to see the arguably two of the best defenders in the Big Ten. I want to see that. I want to see Eli Brooks on Trent Frazier, and I need to see Franz and Shondi trying to stop Ayo. I need to see that. And if Ayo wins, it's going to be fireworks. If Franz and Shondi get the better, it's going to be fireworks. I think it's going to be a great matchup either way. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Oh, somebody said, Kendall, are you Kofi's agent?
I might be.
Nah, but thank you guys for coming up.
Hey, but I do want to jump on after and see how that Kofi Dickinson matchup goes, didn't know. Because it's a lot of disrespect to Kofi. So we'll see. We'll talk about that.
Nah, man. Kofi, I think, is a, you know, probably top three big in the league easily. I like his game. But just like Garza, if you had told me Garza's about to be a lottery pick, I would say, the hell are you talking about? Because I just don't see it translating. Like, I don't see Kofi translating to the league right now to be a lottery pick. If this was 1995, yeah, I could see that. But now, like, can he shoot outside of, like, 7 feet? Is he athletic enough? Is he getting off the ground quickly enough? That's what I don't know. You know what I mean?
I agree. I would say it's at a higher level than Garza, athletic-wise. I mean, he's not as skilled, though, but we'll see. I don't think it's after this year, but I think it takes another year to develop, and I actually do think he can get there because he's taken tremendous strides since I saw him in high school. So we'll see.
Do you think he comes back?
I mean, I hope, but also I like when guys have opportunity to go get that bag. So
yeah.
I guess we'll see. I think he could take another year to develop in college, though. But he's just taking tremendous strides. But we'll see. I mean, if he can be, I think he like put his name in last year, so I think it's slim chances he'll actually come back.
Yeah, Kofi is 0-for-1 career 3-point shooter in his 2 years.
I need to see his shot chart. Just like see, you know, where, because like every time I watch him, everything is within 7 feet. Everything is within 7 feet. But you know. We'll see. We'll see. If he can prove to be a rim protector, if he can prove to be, you know, quick laterally and he could run the court hard, you know, there may be a spot for him. And he's also what, 22 now? Is he 22 now? Or 20 or 21 still?
I'm his agent, but I don't know.
You are his agent? No, I'm just No, nah, but
he's 21.
He's 21. He'll be 22 in September. And you know what the league says about age. You know what I mean? So that's gonna be real interesting, man. But yo, Kendall, thank you for hopping on, man. So y'all holler at Kendall. He's on Locker Room a lot. He's on Twitter. I found it funny when him and Rafael Davis were watching the same game for their teams, and the two responses were like 180 from each other. That was a lot of fun. But that's Kendall. Rob Dowster, he is one of the main guys for what's it called again? It's like 68 or something.
Field of
68. You'll see their pods popping up. They are getting a lot of former players on there. A lot of those players, they come on the Locker Room. I've been in here with, you know, Rafael Davis, former Big Ten defensive player of the year. And you guys know Robbie Hummel, Kendall's been in there as well, too. I've seen guys like Shamon Williams in here. Someone said that Tyrese Halliburton randomly joined someone's locker room and was just chilling in there talking with people. So there's always something going on. And I will say this Wednesday, they got something popping where they have like three or four international NBA scouts that are going to be in here just telling the wildest stories or just stories just from scouting overseas itself. And I found that so interesting. I added it to my phone calendar. But yo, you guys are super dope. You're the best. We have the best community. We had over 230 people in here today. That's the most I've ever had. That's the most I've actually seen on this app. I don't know if that's actually the most, but that's the most that I've seen.
Gang, gang.
The other night, they had Udonis Haslam in here, Andre Iguodala, Duncan Robinson, Kelly Olynyk, Bam Adebayo, and that room got like 170. So, like, y'all are the best. Thank you so much. And I'm going to cut up some film from the live stream. I know that y'all guys like that, of me just losing my mind completely. But we'll talk soon.
Go Blue.
See ya.
Yeah.
Go Blue. Go Blue.